Everything you want, Allah has it. Do not hesitate. Allah has everything in abundance. Even the salt you put on the food, ask Him to give you salt. Do not hesitate to call upon Him. And insist and call time and time again. And repeat your questioning. Because He said, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Do not say, well, I told him today, let me give it 2 more days and then call again. Insist and do it over and over and over again. And ask the type of person that you know you really want something. Some people, they ask and they ask and whether they get it or not and they go away. But be the one of the person like they insist. Ask and repeat and ask again and cry. And ask again. And do not say, I'm asking and Allah has not given me. Be and put your trust in Allah that He's going to give you whatever you ask Him for. As long as you're not asking for something haram. Ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not hesitate. Ask Him to make you patient. Ask Him to raise you properly. Ask Him to guide you and ask Him to make you from those who hate to do practice deeds. Ask Him to purify your heart from shirk. Ask Him to prevent you from worshipping idols. Ask Him to make your children pious. Ask Him for everything. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا يقولن أحدكم ربي أعطني إن شئت أو كما قال رسول الله. Do not make the dua and say, oh Allah, give me if you want to. What kind of question is that? Say, oh Allah, give me. Because if Allah wants you, He's going to give you. Just for example, you come to me and tell me, give me this if you want. That means you're not really asking for it. You're not really trying to get it. But beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him. This is worship. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-du'a mukhul ibadah. Calling upon Allah is the core of your worship. La wallah, that's sahih.
Du'a
huwa al-ibadah. Huh? Du'a huwa al-ibadah. Du'a huwa al-ibadah. Wa jazakallah wa natahraa. Insha'Allah. Then he said that the pronunciation says the du'a is the core of al-ibadah is this pronunciation is weak. But the correct pronunciation says the calling upon Allah is in itself the ibadah. Is the ibadah per se. So call upon Allah Azza wa Jalla, call Him. As Umar ibn Khattab said, I was not afraid for Allah to answer me. But I want Allah to guide me to call Him. Because if Allah guides me to call Him, Allah will give me what He that I am calling Him for. Alhamdulillah. Then we have the third hadith that says here, مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهُ لَا مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ لَقِيَهُ يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ النَّارِ. Pure and simple. Whoever meets Allah on the day of judgment, not having associated anything with Him, shall enter paradise. And whoever meets Allah having committed shirk, in any way will enter the hellfire. So a person who comes in the day of judgment without any association, this is some of the merits of committing tawheed practically, properly, you'll enter paradise. But how you enter paradise depending on your own action. If you do good deeds, your action will make you enter paradise easier. If you do evil deeds, you're going to be found in the hellfire. Let every one of us remember that the bridge for you to reach paradise is over the hellfire. You have to pass over the bridge. And the quicker you are in doing good deeds, the quicker you are in aligning yourself according to the Quran and Sunnah, the quicker it's going to be your trip over the bridge. And the less of a responsive person he is, the less he's going to be in his quickness in making the trip. As the Prophet ﷺ said, over that bridge you will be hooked. from the hellfire. And those hooks, Ya Akhi Luqman, will come and hook the people. Some people will be hooked and thrown in the hellfire, and some people will be scorned. So whoever was hooked on haram things, whoever was hooked on his desire and temptation, and those desire and temptation took him and threw him in something that is haram in this life, Allah will assign for him a hook to hook him and throw him in the hellfire. So we have to set ourselves free from being hooked on haram things, being hooked on evil things. We have to be hooked on the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever meets Allah with association will enter hell. If this is major association, he will be in hell for eternity. And they will scream in the hellfire, "Oh Allah, let us get out and we'll do good deeds." Allah will not respond to this. They will say, "Oh Allah, if you let us get out, we're going to do good deeds. We're going to replace our actions." And Allah tells them, "You are liars. If you get out, you're going to do the same thing over again." And they're going to be crying. And they're going to be punished in the hellfire. The punishment of the hellfire is not easy to reflect upon the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. The least person who will be punished in the hellfire will be standing on wearing certain type of shoes from the hellfire, from which his brain will be boiling. Imagine put your hand on the stove. Can you do that for a minute? You're going to be yelling. How about people who are in the hellfire? Burning, boiling, steaming in the hellfire. And they will say, they will ask, "Ya Malik, ud'u lana Rabbak." They will ask Malik, the angel, that will give their inside. They say, "Oh Malik, ask Allah to release us." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "We brought the truth to you, but most of you do not want the truth. We brought the truth to you, but most of you do not like the truth." This is the reality of the people. Most of them do not like the truth. You tell them, "Nothing you have to do in doing this. Don't let this to you again. Wear your hijab. Don't drink alcohol. Do not chase women. This is the truth." But most of the people who hate the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who love the truth. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْصَبْرِ. Those who encourage patience and they encourage the truth. What is the truth? The truth is, and let it be known to you, is the Quran and the Sunnah as understood by our righteous predecessors. This is the truth. So whoever is doing shirk, putting in the hellfire, if major shirk, he will be in the hellfire for eternity. If it's a minor shirk, he will be punished for it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be delivered from practices of shirk. Therefore, it's very important for us to be afraid from committing shirk. You see why? Because we cannot say we are pure from committing shirk. This is why we have to repent every day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to repent and seek forgiveness of Allah every day 100 times. Make your repentance always with you. So, inshallah, Allah will seal our actions and seal our life with repentance to Him and with good action. Having said that, we go through the issue. The first issue that will be read to us by Malik, please read to us here, which we are the same book. But see
fear of shirk.
Fear of shirk. We understand why showing off is type of shirk. Because a person who's showing off, he tries to come close to the people. Whereas the person's intention should be to come close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
Showing off is a
lesser
type of shirk.
Yes, it's a minor shirk. Because the person who's showing off is not worshipping the people. but he's trying to impress the people.
Falling into membership is more fearful to the righteous and pious people than other men.
Yes, that's it. The pious people, they have to be afraid from committing riya. They should be afraid from showing up. They should always keep themselves in check for them not to do something and they slip, and as the time passes by, they do not guarantee themselves that they are doing and they forget what they are doing it for.
The man is perfect and healthy.
Very from the hadith. Whoever meets Allah will free from shirk will enter paradise. Whoever meets Allah with shirk will enter the hellfire.
The combination of the man is perfect and healthy has been stated in the same hadith.
Yes.
Whoever meets Allah has been associated with nothing with him shall enter paradise. And whoever dies with committing shirk on Allah in any way shall enter hell, even though he may have a great worship.
Mm-hmm.
The important issue of invocation of Ibrahim for himself and his progeny being the protection for worship.
That we have talked about it, how Ibrahim is invoking upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be free from worshiping the idol.
The acknowledgement of Ibrahim of the condition of most people that, oh my Lord, they have indeed led astray many among mankind.
Yes, those are the idols. اعتبار بحال أكثر. هذا أن أكثر الناس أنهم أن الشياطين أضلل أكثر الناس. ولكن هنا الأكثر لا توافق الآية أنهم أضلل كثيرا من الناس. فكثيرا لا تعني الأكثر. كثيرا لا تعني الأكثر. فالأصح أن يكون كثيرا غير موافقة لتعبير الشيخ بقوله أكثر.
ظهر. An explanation of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. There is nothing deserved of worship and so to say Allah.
Yeah, La ilaha illallah means you have to ascribe to him tawheed and negate shirk. It's not sufficient for somebody to say Allah is worthy of worship and admitting that. That does not make a person a believer. You have to say Allah is worthy of worship and nothing else is worthy of worship. So affirmation and negation.
The one who is
free of shirk, inshallah, will enter paradise according to his action. And having said that, you have finished the fourth chapter of this book. And if you have any questions concerning to the topic, we answer them first. And then if you have any other questions, we try to answer them, inshallah, in over the next 10 to 15 minutes. That is a question that is important to the Prophet. People who worship Jesus, the Christian, those people they are practicing an act of shirk, there's no doubt about it. But a person dies, and upon that, we as a human being, we consider him a disbeliever, and we bear him with a disbeliever, and we do not pray for him the funeral prayer. And we deal with him as a disbeliever, because we judge according to what we see. And this person is one of two people. Either had the opportunity to find out the truth, or he did not have the opportunity to find out the truth. Or if Allah availed for him the opportunity to find the truth, and he refused to accept the truth, he ignored the truth and turned away from it, then he will be judged accordingly. If this person had no way for him to realize otherwise, then Allah will test him in the day of judgment. But for that purpose, for our purpose here, that person, for our purpose, we consider him a disbeliever. Having said that, people who fall into disbelief, most of them fall not because they are unaware, but because they are ignorant. And ignorance has a negative connotation. They are ignorant, they don't want to learn. They don't want to see the truth. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُعْرَدْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ مُقَيَّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانِ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِيبٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Whoever turns away from the remembrance of Allah, we're going to assign for him a shaitan to be his partner. And this shaitan will lead those people astray, yet they will think they are on the correct path. And this is why many people, they are not guided, because they are turning away from the truth. They do not want to open their heart for the truth. But if somebody did not receive the message at all, he had no way to hear the message, then Allah will judge him. But for us, we consider everybody who carries the creed of the Christianity as a disbeliever. Everyone who carries it is a disbeliever. And we deal with him as such. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those who received the message and those who did not. Those who had the opportunity to see the truth and those who did not. No, two judgments. Our judgment and Allah's judgment. The judgment in this life and the judgment in the hereafter. The judgment in this life, we judge according to what we see in our eyes. We know, making Jesus, Isa, the Son of God, is sure. So whoever died by that, we judge him as a disbeliever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows this person and what was his situation. And Allah will deal with him accordingly. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever hears about me and does not believe in me, he is in the hellfire. So here, Ikhwan, is another issue that is very important, that is connected to that. To testify the testimony, to give a testimony that somebody is in the hellfire or somebody is in heaven, is two types. It deals with the character and it deals with the person itself. شهادة صفة وشهادة عين. مفهوم شهادة صفة وشهادة عين. For example, the testimony of character, we say whoever say Allah has a partner will enter the hellfire. Whoever worship partners with Allah will enter the hellfire. So we're not saying Tom, Dick, and Mary will enter the hellfire. We're making general statement. Whoever does that will enter the hellfire. Then to say Tom will enter the hellfire and he is in the hellfire for eternity, that's different. This is no specification. We cannot do that unless we know for sure that Tom has received the evidence. And Tom refused the evidence. So who can we bring an example like this? Abu Jahl. Can we say Abu Jahl himself is in the hellfire? Very easy, we can do that because Allah told us that in the Quran. Or in Abu Lahab. So this is shahadatu ayn. Shahadatu sifa, the character, those people who have the qualities of the hellfire, they will be in the hellfire. The disbelievers are the hellfire. The associators are the hellfire. The one who says the angels are feminine, they are in the hellfire. Those people who do not believe in the six articles of faith, they are disbelievers, and so on and so forth. So this is something that has to do with the quality. Once we understand that, we get ourselves out of the dilemma. The dilemma of some people say, how can you say the Christians are disbelievers and he did not hear the message? We tell him, we are saying their creed is a disbelieving creed. Whoever died with them with this disbeliever, what do you want us to do? Bring him and bury him with a Muslim? He's a disbeliever to us. And Allah on the Day of Judgment will deal with him according to his own knowledge. But in this life we deal with him as a disbeliever, and we say he's a disbeliever because what he carries with him is disbelief. I will not afraid to do so because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَالْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Those who say Allah is the Messiah, Ibn Maryam, they are disbelievers. So it's easy for us to say, those who say that, they are disbelievers. So there's no actual contradiction in our position. In our life, we give them the judgment that Allah told us about, and Allah will deal with them according to His own knowledge. وَهَذَا وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And إن شاء الله we meet next Saturday and we'll do the fifth chapter. It's always up to Allah. It's always Allah is the final judge. But we have to try to educate them. Yes. But we give them the verdict that they are disbelievers. And if they die, they die as disbelievers. But your certainty level, if somebody dies and you don't know anything about him, but you know he had a cross in his neck, so you don't disbelieve. But a person that you know and you have dealt with and you show them the evidence night and day and he refused it, after he died, your level of certainty that he's going to be in the hellfire will be higher than the one who you don't know anything about. You understand? So the more you give the people the evidence and refuse it, the more you feel that they are in the hellfire, that you do not say you are the final judge. Allah will judge them the final thing, but in this life you deal with them as disbelievers in totality. Inshallah, what I said last will clarify the issue. A lot of Muslims, they believe in the angel. But our belief in the angel, that Allah created the angel, and they do not have gender. They're not male or female, they are angels, they are entire beings. Some people believe in the angel, but they think the angel are feminine. You see that even in stone. They put the angel with two wings and in a feminine format. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ لَيُسَمُّونَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَسْمِيَةَ الْأُنْثَى. Those who do not believe in the day after, they will call the angel the names of feminine. That is what it means. We have, inshallah, to study the article of faith. We believe in the angel. Now we are dealing with Tawheed. Tawheed is how you believe in Allah. And then we have to see how we believe in the angel. How we believe in the books of Allah. The six articles of faith. Now we are dealing how we believe in Allah. We believe in Allah according to the signs of Tawheed. That's what it means. But the people who call the angels are feminine names. Now? تضع الدواء في يدك أحسن. Now we conclude the lesson with this final statement from Noor. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.